Have you ever wondered why some photographs seem to reach through the screen and grab you by the heart? What separates a forgettable snapshot from an image that lingers in your mind for days? Henry Carroll's "Read This If You Want to Take Great Photographs of People" isn't just another technical manual. It's a revolution in how we think about photography. This cult favorite has influenced everyone from amateur enthusiasts to professional photographers like Annie Leibovitz, who called it the book I wish I had when starting out. What makes this guide so special is its rejection of camera club jargon and technical graphs in favor of teaching through the work of 50 master photographers. Since its publication, it has sold over 800,000 copies worldwide and been translated into 17 languages, becoming required reading in photography schools across the globe. Carroll's approach strips photography back to its essence, learning to see with fresh eyes rather than hiding behind equipment. At its core, your camera is just a box with a hole. Despite all the buttons, dials, and features that can seem overwhelming, the fundamental principle remains unchanged since photography's invention. While some camera additions genuinely enhance creative freedom, many are unnecessary distractions. The technical aspects of photography, exposure, composition, light, are merely tools that serve a greater purpose, training your eyes to see what others miss. Great photography isn't about technical perfection, but about developing a personal vision. The most valuable piece of equipment isn't your expensive camera body or collection of lenses, it's your eyes. Learning to see photographically means noticing the interplay of light and shadow, recognizing decisive moments as they unfold, and developing an intuitive sense of composition that guides viewers through your images. This approach liberates you from the tyranny of equipment obsession. Many beginning photographers believe that better gear automatically produces better photographs, but this misses the point entirely. The photographers featured in this book worked with everything from simple film cameras to professional digital systems, yet their images share one quality. They reveal the world in ways that transcend technical specifications. When you start ignoring the unnecessary complexities of modern cameras, you can focus on what truly matters, developing your unique photographic vision and learning to express it through whatever equipment you have available. Composition is the invisible framework that gives photographs their power, the deliberate arrangement of visual elements that guides the viewer's eye and communicates meaning. While often intuitive rather than calculated, strong composition transforms ordinary scenes into extraordinary images by creating visual relationships that feel both surprising and inevitable. Henri Cartier-Bresson, the master of street photography, demonstrates how leading lines create dynamic energy in his images. In one remarkable photograph, a strong downward perspective creates a falling sensation, with railings guiding our eyes down steps and along the curve of a curb to a man racing by on a bicycle. These leading lines aren't just decorative elements, they're visual pathways that give structure to compositions and draw viewers to key elements. When incorporating leading lines, look beyond the obvious to find them everywhere, in train tracks, tree branches, rock face cracks, or architectural features. Often, a single strong line sweeping in from the edge of the frame is all you need to transform a static image into one with kinetic energy. The very shape of your photograph, landscape, horizontal, or portrait, vertical, fundamentally influences how viewers engage with it. Horizontal formats encourage side-to-side eye movement, creating a sense of narrative progression or panoramic breadth. Vertical formats generate up and down movement, emphasizing height, depth, or hierarchical relationships. Choose your format based on the dominant lines or natural flow of your subject, not conventional expectations. Mark Asnan's landscape format photograph draws our eyes along an undulating line of heads, creating order in a busy scene and emphasizing the drama. Similarly, Ansel Adams' portrait format image of a rock face accentuates the monolithic weight and vertical grandeur of the subject. In complex scenes, framing techniques can direct attention precisely where you want it. Cristina Garcia Rodero's photograph from the Burning Man Festival uses this technique masterfully. Our eyes bypass the crowds in a van to focus on a leaping figure framed by a hoop. This photograph within a photograph technique creates visual hierarchy, telling viewers exactly what matters most. Look for doorways, windows, and natural openings that focus attention on important elements. But be selective about what you frame, choosing subjects worthy of this powerful technique. Landscape photographers understand that what's immediately in front of the camera often matters as much as the distant vista. Edward Bertinsky's image of a rusting container ship uses textured mud in the foreground to lead our eyes into the reflection and up to the main subject. This foreground interest provides viewers with a visual entry point into the image and enhances its sense of depth. Without it, our eyes would feel disconnected from the middle and background elements. When shooting landscapes, don't just focus on grand vistas. What's right at your feet often holds the key to a well-crafted composition. Sometimes getting uncomfortably close transforms an ordinary photograph into something extraordinary. Martin Parr often risks confrontation to capture telling details that would be lost in wider compositions. In his Benidorm photograph, filling the frame with his subject forces us to notice subtle details, scarlet lipstick on dissatisfied lips, gold jewelry, oval goggles with lizard-like eye holes that form our impression of this woman. Very often, nothing kills an image more than keeping your distance. Getting close communicates that single important observation that captured your interest. While cropping afterward might seem easier, Parr's close approach gives his images their distinctive humor that would be lost with a more distant perspective. Symmetry has universal appeal, satisfying our primal need for order and balance. Alkan Hassan draws us into his composition through symmetry, positioning his subject in the middle while building lines create an envelope-like triangle that reflects the subject's tranquil state of mind. When placing subjects centrally, beware the line between balance and boring. Allow human elements to prevent perfection from becoming phony. By contrast, Guy Bourdin positions his subject off-center, creating eccentricity while maintaining balance through the rule of thirds. This technique divides the frame into three sections horizontally or vertically, placing focal points along these lines. While many photographers publicly dismiss this rule as too calculated, they secretly employ it as a foundation for balanced compositions. Great photographs aren't snapped, but carefully constructed, with subtle movements making everything slot into place. Lars Thunborg's image achieves beauty not through any single element, but through perfect composition, where nothing seems incidental. These adjustments ensure the foreground post stands vertical, the taxi is perfectly framed, and colors balance without overpowering. When composing, avoid passive areas that contribute nothing, and always pause before shooting to ensure every element works within the whole. Visual weight, the perceived heaviness of elements based on their size, color, and tone, creates balance in compositions. Louis Baltz's industrial landscape demonstrates this principle through precise positioning of shapes and tones. The dark ground appears heavier than the light wall, influencing their proportional space in the frame. The garage door's gray is counterbalanced by a white diamond in the tarmac. The spacing between elements creates perfect equilibrium. This balancing act comes naturally. You already measure visual weight when hanging pictures or arranging food on a plate. Apply this intuitive skill to photography. While compositional techniques provide essential building blocks, truly great photographs often break rules to capture their subject's essence. Bill Brandt's portrait of Francis Bacon breaks every compositional rule. A path pulls our eyes out of frame, an off-kilter lamppost awkwardly touches the top edge, the subject sits at extreme left with his gaze cut short, and a horizon line slices through his head. This uncomfortable composition creates tension and anxiety, perfectly capturing the essence of Bacon, who painted deformed heads and screaming popes. The most powerful compositions aren't formulaic, but responsive to the unique qualities of the subject. Exposure, controlling how much light enters your camera, is photography's fundamental technical challenge. Too much light creates overexposure, washed out highlights. Too little creates underexposure, muddy shadows. This balancing act requires juggling three inseparable elements: shutter speed, controlling how long light enters, aperture, controlling how much light enters, and ISO, controlling light sensitivity. Though initially technical, mastering these fundamentals transforms exposure from mere light management into a creative tool for expressing your vision. Despite cameras offering numerous shooting modes, you only need three: program, P, shutter priority, S/TV, and aperture priority, A/AV. These good guys unlock creativity while handling technical calculations. Scene modes, represented by pictures, are factory presets that limit creative expression and should be ignored. The fully auto mode produces snapshots that rarely match intentions. It's photography without personality or imagination. Contrary to camera club traditionalists who chant manual good, auto bad, the program mode is excellent for beginners. Unlike full auto, it prevents automatic flash firing and allows ISO adjustment while handling technical calculations. This posh auto provides creative freedom while letting you concentrate on developing your eye rather than fiddling with settings. Shutter speed controls how long your camera sensor is exposed to light. For complete control over motion, use shutter priority mode, S/TV, which lets you set shutter speed while the camera handles aperture. Shutter speeds appear as fractions, 1/500, or simply 500, indicating fractions of seconds, or with quotation marks, 2S, indicating whole seconds. Darker conditions require slower speeds to allow more light, while brighter conditions need faster speeds to prevent overexposure. Slow shutter speeds create beautiful motion blur as the shutter remains open longer, allowing moving objects to travel during exposure. Ernst Haas uses this technique to surround choreographer George Balanchine with rhythmic blurs as dancers pirouette around him. The contrast between their movement and his stillness creates visual drama. For everyday subjects, like running people or passing cars, blur becomes noticeable at speeds slower than about 160, with slower speeds creating greater blur. As darkness falls, cities transform into light painting canvases. Francesco Compagito captures this effect using a slow shutter speed while mounting his camera on a tripod to ensure pin-sharp architecture surrounding the blurred traffic. Camera shake is the most common killer of night shots, while image stabilization, IS, or vibration reduction helps with handheld shots at slower speeds, a tripod remains essential for truly long exposures. Fast shutter speeds freeze movement rather than blur it. Naoya Hatakeyama's Blast series uses 1/2000-second exposures to capture limestone mining explosions in Japan, transforming violent moments into suspended beauty, where reddish-brown debris hangs in midair against blue sky. This technique makes visible what would be too fast for the naked eye to comprehend. Generally, shutter speeds of 1/125 and faster begin to freeze movement, like people jumping or running water. Remember that faster shutter speeds allow less light into the camera, potentially causing underexposure without proper aperture adjustment. Aperture works like the pupil in your eye, a hole in your lens that can be made smaller or larger to control light entry. Beyond light control, aperture creates distinctive visual effects, particularly in how much of your image appears in focus. Aperture priority mode, A/AV, lets you set the aperture while the camera calculates appropriate shutter speed. Aperture size is measured in f-stops. Counterintuitively, higher numbers, like f/22, mean narrower openings, while lower numbers, like f/5/6, mean wider openings. A shallow depth of field creates striking portraits by making subjects stand out against blurred backgrounds. In Salgado's portrait of a Dinka man, the subject gains sculptural presence as his muscular frame, covered in white ash, becomes sharply defined against the soft background. This effect draws viewers to the intensity of his stare. To achieve shallow depth of field, select Aperture Priority Mode, A or AV, and use a wide aperture, low F number. The effect is most pronounced when shooting close-ups, as demonstrated in Slinkachu's miniature street installations where focus depth measures mere millimeters. Contrastingly, Richard Misrach's photograph of a Nevada military testing site demonstrates deep depth of field, where everything from the toxic pool in the foreground to the debris-littered landscape stretching into the distance remains in sharp focus. This technique communicates scale and detail effectively. To achieve deep depth of field, use a narrow aperture, high F number. Remember, small F number equals small area of focus. Big F number equals big area of focus. Be aware that narrow apertures require slower shutter speeds, potentially necessitating a tripod to avoid camera shake. ISO controls your camera's sensitivity to light. In dark conditions, increase ISO to make the most of limited light. In bright conditions, decrease it. Higher sensitivity allows faster shutter speeds in low light, helping avoid camera shake. A good starting point is ISO 400 for an overcast day, then adjust up or down based on conditions. Always set ISO first as it affects available shutter speed and aperture options. Digital photography allows changing ISO between shots, but beware that higher settings create noise in images. Exposure compensation offers a simpler alternative to manual mode when you want to intentionally brighten or darken images. This function, marked by plus or minus on most cameras, allows adjusting exposure without changing modes. Scrolling toward plus overexposes photographs, making them brighter. Scrolling toward minus underexposes them, making them darker. This feature proves surprisingly useful in challenging lighting situations. Very bright scenes, like snow, often appear underexposed, too gray, while very dark scenes, like bar interiors, often appear overexposed. Light is photography's most elusive yet essential element, intangible but transformative. Though you can't touch it, you must learn to see it as a physical object with shape-shifting powers. Light determines whether something appears arresting or mundane, beautiful or ordinary. To master photography, observe light constantly, how it affects spaces, draws out textures, creates depth, and directs attention. Despite infinite variations, all light can be categorized into two fundamental types, hard and soft, each creating distinctly different moods in your images. Hard light comes from a single direction, like spotlights or direct sunshine, creating high contrast and sharp shadows. Trent Park harnesses this quality to transform urban landscapes, using hard light to create islands of brightness where subjects stand marooned against dark backgrounds. Hard light's uneven nature means you'll lose detail somewhere. Use exposure compensation to balance. The strong shadows created by hard light add depth and three-dimensionality to subjects, as seen in Faye Godwin's ancient stone circle photograph, where shadows emphasize the jagged shapes and unique character of each stone. If hard light packs a punch, soft light is more like a massage, gentler and more even. In Ryan McGinley's photograph of a young man holding an alligator, soft light creates a calm, contemplative mood. Unlike hard light's stark division between highlights and shadows, soft light maintains detail throughout the image, making photographs feel slower and more meditative. Portrait photographers particularly value soft light because it flatters subjects. As Richard Learoyd demonstrates, soft light caresses rather than attacks, drawing out form and features while softening edges and smoothing surfaces. Light can be categorized as either natural, from the sun, or artificial, from man-made sources like bulbs, streetlights, or flash. These light types create distinctly different moods and color temperatures. Nadav Kondor's photograph of a house beneath an overpass demonstrates how artificial sodium streetlights cast an unnatural yellowish hue that creates unease. By contrast, Tom Hunter's photograph of a woman reading a possession order uses natural window light to create a sense of innocent calm through its pure white quality. Light comes in various color temperatures. Daylight tends to be cool, blue, while household lights are typically warm, orange. White balance settings allow you to either neutralize these color casts for more natural-looking images or accentuate them for emotional effect. Setting your camera to auto WB, AWB, generally works well for most situations, with manual adjustments only needed in extreme cases. As Nadav Kondur demonstrates, an image with a blue cast feels cooler, while an orange cast creates warmth. These incorrect white balance settings can be used intentionally to evoke specific emotional responses. Inbuilt flash creates a distinctive, harsh light that dominates an image's look and feel. Since it fires from the same angle as the camera, it throws shadows forward and can overexpose reflective surfaces or objects in the immediate foreground. In Daido Moriyama's dramatic photograph of a woman in a white nightgown running down an alley, the flash creates an unsettling, mesmerizing effect that heightens the scene's tension. However, without skilled application, flash can create an unflattering snapshot look. Fill flash involves firing your flash in daylight conditions to make foreground subjects stand out with electric energy, as demonstrated in Elaine Constantine's vibrant Seagull and Chips photograph. This technique works particularly well for backlit scenes, or when you want to make your subject pop, though it won't give your image a natural look. The instantaneous nature of flash also freezes any movement within its reach. What appears to be the result of a fast shutter speed is actually the flash's brief illumination. Lenses do more than simply magnify. They fundamentally alter your relationship with your subject and your photographic approach. As illustrated in Hitchcock's Rear Window, where a photographer confined to his apartment becomes obsessed with observing neighbors through a telephoto lens, different lenses transform you from active participant to distant voyeur. A lens's weight affects your mobility, its size impacts your visibility, and its magnification determines your engagement with subjects. Beyond these practical considerations, lenses distort spatial relationships in photographs, changing emphasis and enabling different types of photography altogether. Lenses fall into two categories: zoom lenses that allow variable magnification, and prime, fixed lenses with a single focal length. Focal length, measured in millimeters, determines whether a lens is short, wide-angle, or long, telephoto. Wide-angle lenses offer a broader field of view, making objects appear more distant, while telephoto lenses provide a narrower field, with subjects appearing closer. Wide-angle lenses create expansive views that incorporate more contextual elements, making them ideal for storytelling. In Holly Andrus's atmospheric image from Full of Brace, the wide-angle perspective places the viewer in what feels like a car trunk, with peripheral details playing crucial roles in the narrative. Short focal lengths seemingly elongate distance, making foreground elements appear dramatically larger than background subjects. Wide angles excel at capturing landscapes, but require strong compositional elements, like leading lines, to prevent important details from becoming lost in the expansive frame. Telephoto lenses transform photographers into hidden observers, capturing subjects from a distance without interaction. Philip Lorca de Corsia exploited this quality in his Head series, setting up a photographic trap with a telephoto lens and off-camera flash to capture candid portraits of strangers walking down the street, creating images with a distinctly cinematic quality. Beyond making distant subjects appear closer, telephoto lenses compress depth, creating a flattening effect that makes images appear more graphic. In René Bury's Fopalo photograph, this compression makes the long avenue appear as a flat vertical strip rather than receding into the distance, and buildings look like layered cutouts rather than three-dimensional structures. Between wide-angle and telephoto lies the standard focal length, which approximates how the human eye sees. For her intimate series Pull Back the Shade, Muzi Kwasan used this middle ground perspective to document Amanda, a musician seeking the hippie ideal in upstate New York. By living with her subject for months at a time, Kwasen achieved remarkable intimacy without intrusiveness. A standard focal length allows photographers to get close without becoming invasive. A wider lens would have required uncomfortable proximity, while a telephoto would have created a voyeuristic distance. Prime lenses, fixed at specific focal lengths with no zoom capability, offer significant advantages despite their apparent limitations. Fashion street photographer Young Jun Koo uses primes to create his distinctive, clean portraits of stylish urbanites. Their wider maximum apertures allow for shallower depth of field, making subjects stand out dramatically against softly blurred backgrounds. This quality draws attention to people and their clothes rather than urban distractions. Additional benefits include faster shutter speeds, particularly valuable in low light, superior optical quality, lighter weight, and often lower cost compared to zoom lenses. Macro photography transforms everyday objects into alien forms through extreme close-ups, completely altering our perception of the familiar world. Most macro lenses are telephoto primes, offering exceptional optical clarity through their fixed focal length design while providing enough magnification to capture tiny subjects without requiring extreme physical proximity. As Shikei Go demonstrates with his bug-eye image covered in water droplets, macro photography reveals complex patterns and textures normally invisible to us, giving small subjects monumental presence. You've mastered the technical aspects of photography, composition, light, and lenses, but taking truly great pictures requires something more profound, learning to see rather than merely look. This isn't about camera settings, it's deeply personal. As demonstrated by Chris Levine's portrait of Queen Elizabeth, captured when she briefly closed her eyes between formal poses, seeing means responding to instincts and finding what fascinates you personally. Your camera has no seeing mode. This comes from turning on your eyes and turning off your brain. Capturing fleeting, unrepeatable moments, what Henri Cartier-Bresson called decisive moments, represents photography at its purest. Melanie Einzig's New York street scene perfectly illustrates this. A man with a cockatoo, a prowling Rottweiler, an embracing couple, and an exhausted figure. Four unrelated elements converging for just 1 second before dispersing forever. Photographing these ephemeral instances requires anticipation and instinct. To freeze such moments, prepare your camera in advance with shutter priority mode and fast shutter speed, as you'll have no time to think when the moment arrives. Robert Capa's technically flawed D-Day landing photographs, blurry, badly composed, and partially damaged in processing, are precisely what make them so powerful. Shooting from within the chaos of battle, these imperfect images convey the raw experience of being there in ways technically perfect shots never could. The obsessive pursuit of technical perfection often strangles creativity. Sometimes capturing the right moment with wrong settings produces more compelling results than the wrong moment with perfect settings. Stephen J. Morgan found beauty, stories, and visual poetry in the corner of a rundown Birmingham social club with his image, Where My Grandfather Drank, Number 1. Conventional nice subjects, sunsets, flowers, hot air balloons, offer prepackaged beauty but rarely transcend being mere substitutes for reality. Average photographers merely imitate beauty. Great photographers create their own. Look beyond the obviously photogenic to subjects that personally interest you, hunting for a more surprising and personal vision of beauty. Edward Weston's iconic Pepper No. 30 emerged not from looking through a camera, but from truly seeing with his eyes. Great photographs result from seeing first, photographing second. The camera should be the final piece of the puzzle, not the starting point. Sometimes the best approach is leaving your camera in the bag and spending the day just seeing. Weston's Pepper photograph invites multiple interpretations, embracing figures, an arched back, a flexing strongman, or simply a beautiful abstract form, because he saw beyond the obvious vegetable to its sculptural essence. Good photographers are contortionists. They're constantly hunching, squatting, climbing, and bending to find fresh perspectives. Elliot Erwitt's Felix Gladysson Rover demonstrates this perfectly, as he adopted a dog's eye view to create visual humor. We first empathize with the small dog in a hat, then realize those aren't human legs beside it, but those of an enormous dog. Head height is boring and familiar. Unexpected viewpoints create surprise and impact. Always seek unfamiliar perspectives, even if it means dirty knees. Apollo 17's iconic Earth photograph came without excuses, the perfect shot after extraordinary effort. Great photographs rarely present themselves easily. They require that extra mile, whether through patient waiting, physical exertion, or, in this case, space travel. Even after tremendous effort, sometimes the results disappoint. Be ruthless with these shots with excuses. Write them off as ones that got away, rather than letting the difficulty of obtaining them distort your judgment of their quality. Dorothea Lange's iconic Migrant Mother wasn't her first attempt. It was the culmination of several less successful photographs. The process of taking pictures often leads you to what you're truly seeking. Photography isn't about hitting a winner with every click. It's about observation, patience, and persistence. With each shot, Lange edged forward, building trust between subject and photographer. This methodical process transformed something ordinary into something magnificent. Maciej Dekowicz captured the wild nightlife of Cardiff by knowing exactly what he was looking for, inebriated Welsh clubbers transforming into different versions of themselves. Focusing on a specific subject matter gives your photography purpose and improves results. Even something as simple as deciding, "Today I'm shooting candid street portraits," hones your eye to notice moments you might otherwise miss. Through his consistent focus on Cardiff's nightlife, Dekowicz saw beyond the surface chaos to uncover deeper truths about vulnerability, aggression, humor, and horror. Alex Soth's photograph of an empty chair, blacked-out window, and clashing patterns raises questions rather than answering them. His road trip images offer glimpses into observed moments while leaving viewers to complete the story. Great photographs don't need to explain everything. Holding something back gives imagination somewhere to go. Though no person appears in this image, it functions as a portrait through the magazine, empty chair, ruffled carpet, and glowing lamp. To create intrigue, look beyond obvious subjects to the oddities and in-between moments that hint at larger stories. Edward Weston's iconic Pepper No. 30 emerged not from looking through a camera, but from truly seeing with his eyes. Great photographs result from seeing first, photographing second. The camera should be the final piece of the puzzle, not the starting point. Sometimes the best approach is leaving your camera in the bag and spending the day just seeing. Weston's Pepper photograph invites multiple interpretations, embracing figures, an arched back, a flexing strongman, or simply a beautiful abstract form, because he saw beyond the obvious vegetable to its sculptural essence. Good photographers are contortionists. They're constantly hunching, squatting, climbing, and bending to find fresh perspectives. Elliot Erwitt's Felix Gladysson Rover demonstrates this perfectly, as he adopted a dog's eye view to create visual humor. We first empathize with the small dog in a hat, then realize those aren't human legs beside it, but those of an enormous dog. Head height is boring and familiar. Unexpected viewpoints create surprise and impact. Always seek unfamiliar perspectives, even if it means dirty knees. Individual photographs can only say so much, but a series becomes a photographic novel with a beginning, middle, and end. Robert Frank's The Americans confused many viewers at first because they were analyzing each image separately. Only later did its true power emerge as a carefully constructed sequence portraying 1950s America as a place of loneliness and racial segregation. By committing to a project about a place, person, or interest, you can tell a story where the specific style and order of photographs articulates what you really feel, something no single image could ever accomplish alone. Great photography penetrates the surface and reveals what lies beneath. Inzayano Latif's image of a boxer demonstrates this magic. Those clenched fists wrapped in torn fabric, the beautiful light between hard and soft, warm orange against cool blue, and that confrontational yet vulnerable stare. While these elements are skillfully constructed, the photograph somehow adds up to more than the sum of its parts. Technical mastery alone can't capture images like this. When asked about his approach, Latif simply said, "Don't overthink things. Photograph what you feel." The magic of photography, that inexplicable element that transforms a technically competent image into something transcendent, isn't found in your camera's menu system or the latest equipment. It's found in your unique way of seeing the world, your emotional response to what stands before you, and your willingness to keep looking when others have walked away. The technical aspects of photography, composition, exposure, light, lenses, are merely tools that serve this deeper purpose, helping you translate what you see and feel into images that allow others to see and feel it too. In the end, the most valuable piece of equipment isn't your camera, it's you.